Misconstrued religious instruction. Mr. Bottomley stood at the front of the class giving his sermon. To me, he was the epitome of being a servant of God. A man of the cloth, as my nonna would say. But to be honest, I hadn't a clue what exactly she meant by that. We used cloths for doing the dishes. Holding his hands up to the heavens, eyes closed tightly shut behind his bottle-lens glasses, he led the class in prayer. I would peek from behind my steepled hands, sunlight streaming in through the window, illuminating his sparse white hair in halo-like fashion. Truly a sign, I thought to myself. Today's message was Jesus and the 40 days spent in the wilderness. I couldn't quite get my head around what exactly he was doing there, and perhaps he might have fared better if he'd taken a map and a compass with him. My brother was learning about orienteering with the scouts to great effect. Perhaps that was what Jesus was doing there, and I wonder if he earned a badge for his troubles too. Somewhat distracted from the main aspects of the lesson, I came away with the essential message that Jesus was forgiven because he'd admitted that the devil made him do it. It was a message that made a distinct impression on my 7-year-old mind. Later that evening, after school, all the children in our road were out playing. Scores of bicycles rattled up and down the pavements, followed by children balanced to greater or lesser degree of ability on roller skates. An argument broke out and ended up with various groups disappearing into gardens and jumping fences in an effort to surprise attack the other group. A few windows were pounded as angry owners shouted, "Get out of my garden!" Relations between us broke down to such an extent that we ended up grouped behind various front garden bushes on opposite sides of the road, trading insults. Then someone hurled the first stone. Soon a volley of them went back and forth. In an effort to show team solidarity, I picked up a stone, clutched it in my tiny fist, arced my arm back and threw, without actually taking a fixed aim. There followed a crash, and the sound of shattered glass scattering across the floor. Everyone dispersed, leaving me with a triumphant but quickly fading smile. Mr. Ryder emerged out of his front room door like a spider with something caught in its lair. "Did you do this?" he said, pointing at the broken window. I nodded slowly, knowing that I was now officially in hot water. "What the bloody hell did you think you were doing, throwing stones? I think we'd better speak to your mother, hadn't we?" I could feel the shame washing over me and dreaded my mother's reaction. My bottom lip began to tremble, and when I looked around, none of my compadres were anywhere to be seen, let alone stop to try and help explain what had happened. I was the only girl, the fall guy. I followed him meekly to the front door. The seconds following the doorbell seemed interminable. Mum answers it, looks down at my forlorn face and up at Mr. Ryder. What has she done now? She stands on the step, hands still in rubber gloves on her hips. She doesn't look pleased. She looks even less pleased as Mr. Ryder tells her of the wanton damage I've created. The rubber-gloved hand, still wet from doing the washing up, reaches down and drags me across the threshold. She gets down on her hunkers. I can smell her scent, aquamanda, the smell of sweet oranges that I'm sure would taste just as good. "So, what have you got to say for yourself, young lady?" "Come on, I'm waiting." Lifting up my finger, I make a vague attempt at trying to point. My mouth doesn't seem able to make the correct words. The bigger boy started it, I began. But then I thought of Mr. Bottomley and his black cassock and dog collar. I thought of his outstretched arms in supplication and the way the sun shone through his hair. I thought of his message for the day. Perhaps this was a sign from the Lord himself, an opportunity, for I was truly repenting for my wickedness, casting a stone. I even had tears forming too. Yes, I resolved to admit that just like Jesus, I had been tempted. This was my get-out-of-jail-free card. I was sure of it. I stood before my mother and Mr. Ryder and admitted all, that the devil made me do it. Devil? My giddy ass, said my mother. Go on up to your room this instant, and I'll see to you when Mr. Ryder is gone. I climbed the stairs more than disappointed. Mr. Bottomley's lesson had backfired badly. I went to my room awaiting my punishment, resolving to tell Mr. Bottomley that Jesus got off lightly.